2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Big MX Radio Podcast. I am your host, Brad Gebhardt, and this episode is brought to you by Racetech. It's probably been a little minute since you took your suspension off and got it fully serviced by our friends over at Racetech. Get your cold valves going. You'll feel better about your motorcycle. When you feel better about your motorcycle, your lap times go down. The faster you go, the more throttle therapy you're going to get, and that's what it's all about. Like I said, I am your host, Brad Gebhardt. With me on the line, Zach Ufumzef out of Western Canada. I'm so excited to chat with you, my friend. You've been vlogging. You've been doing the thing down in Texas. Tell me about it, my friend. For those who don't know Zach Ufumzef, first of all, what kind of last name is that? And who the hell are you?
Yeah, I'm stoked to be on here. So the last name's Ufumzef. A lot of people see it and they get pretty scared of it, but it's really not that bad. When you take a second to look at it, you break it down into three spots. Ufumzef, fairly easy. It's Russian background. So growing up, you know, on the minis and everything, they would see my last name and they'd just be like, Zach, number 34. And they wouldn't even try and say my last name. So, it's pretty funny. But I'm excited to be down here in Texas and, get the training going.
So whereabouts in Texas are you training? Why train there? And tell me a little bit about putting the program together for 2026.
Just not too far out of Fort Worth, Texas. This year training started a little bit later, but it was obviously because I'm trying to put together my own privateer program this year. But luckily we got in touch with Jack Carter and Jack Carter Power Sports out of Calgary and figured out some Yamahas, some Blue Crews for the season. So once we were able to kind of sort that out, that was our biggest obstacle, obviously, is figuring out bikes. But once we got that dialed in, we were able to get down here. And Texas, I've been to a couple different places, but mainly Texas right now. Just it's linked with my trainer, Jim Fredrickson out of Red Deer. So working with him, this is where his guys kind of go. So that's where I ended up.
Yeah, and it's been a long period of time that Jimmy's been working with the Master Pools, going back to even back when he had a 204 number. He's been out in Alberta for a number of years now. And you've got a BC phone number, but you're riding for a Calgary dealership. How do you make that connection and foster a relationship so strong that a dealership in a different province is willing to support your racing? That's pretty special.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's a great group of people over there at Jack Carter. Being from BC, it is a little bit harder now that we don't have a national. So the dealerships, you know, yeah, the whole racing in BC is just a little bit in a little bit of a lull right now. But anyways, a couple of years ago, I was on the Manlock Rock River Yamaha team, and they were partnered with Jack Carter out of Calgary. And so during my time there, you know, we made a pretty good relationship. Team manager, Pat Shippett, you know, he was involved with that and setting that up. So when I was looking for dealerships and looking for some support, talked to Pat. Pat was able to, you know, get some connections going back with Jack Carter. And obviously they were familiar with what I did. And it was all from there that things started kind of falling into place. And before you know it, I had some bikes in the garage again.
That's beautiful. And you said you had a knee injury, an ACL tear last July that we were actually supposed to be speaking off air. So the listeners might not be privy to that. Tell me a little bit about the recovery from that and just sort of the time away from the bike. It must have put a lot of wind in your sails and hunger to get back out there and get that throttle therapy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely a lot of motivation when you're sitting on the sidelines watching everyone else race. It's not very fun. So, it was the 2-3 days after Gopher National. There was just a local race and just a local money race and a little crash, in a fast sweeper. And I just, the way I caught my knee and hit the ground, I broke my collarbone and tore my ACL at the same time. So, it was a gnarly recovery. We hammered it I hammered the physio really hard with Jim and it was pretty tough, but you know, At first, I didn't even know that I tore my ACL. Like, I rode, so I knew my collarbone was broken, but got surgery right away. And, I really wanted to race Walton just to, stay relevant. And,
Walton.
as soon as you get hurt, people forget about you. So I did everything I could. And 1 week after surgery, I went riding. Collarbone actually felt okay. And, but it was my knee that, kind of played a little bit of a bigger problem. And we had still been waiting for MRI results, and then sure enough, we got them, and it was a full tear. So we went to town on the rehab, and luckily I did, because I spent probably 2 3 weeks of hard, intense rehab, and it made the world of a difference. So it was a long road and definitely sucked, but yeah, it was worth it to go through that pain and get back to it, so that my knee's dialed in now, and we can look forward to a solid season. So,
So I assume some situations are different, but for those who are not familiar, what does it feel like trying to race a dirt bike with no ACL? Like,
I
what's that
mean,
sensation like?
well, when I first rode, the week after when I first rode, it was interesting. I mean, my knee felt great until I was like, I was starting to get comfortable with my collarbone and everything, and I'm like, okay, let's start kind of pushing the limit and see what I can handle. And as soon as I did that, in the next corner I went in there, my t I sorry, I grabbed my knee on the inside of the rut and just, yanked it pretty
Oh.
hard, and man, like, instantly stopped. And that, yeah, that put me out quick. I stopped.
Oh, dude.
That is not good. And it was pretty gnarly, because before that my knee was sore, but like walking on it was fine. Then after that, like every time I stepped, I could feel it like wiggling pretty hard, and I had a couple times where I stepped and it wasn't like in place where it should be, and a little bit of a buckle, and it's just a terrible, it's the grossest. Yeah, no fun.
Yeah, dude. And like, so I guess the next question is, what's it like repairing and rehabbing a ACL with Jim Fredrickson? Because you, as well as I know, up here in Canada, there's lots of trainers, lots of people who work with hockey players, lots of people who work with football players. Very few trainers here in Canada specifically know how to work with a motocross athlete.
Yeah, no, Jim's got a ton of knowledge, and he's worked with athletes all across the board. So his facility is pretty legit, and he's got the right tools for recovery, the right people around him, everything like that. So I put all my trust in him, and it was working. It was a lot of hard work, and it wasn't fun at all, but it was so worth it what we did. Just tons of physio, tons of, when you think that, man, I should stop right now because this hurts or it sucks, but you just got to push through that, and that's what we did. We got over the hump, and yeah, then it was smooth sailing once we kind of got past the hard parts.
No doubt. And so I assume the training regimen has also recommenced now down at the master pools. Like, you're putting in motos, you're going for bike rides, and is Jim creating the programming for that as well?
Yep, I'm still fully on his program. So, around, winter time was a restart for me to kind of do some strength training, and now that my knee was rehabbed, to build the strength back, and just for my whole body, because this past November, I want to say, is the first time I've worked out in 2 years now, just with all the health issues I've been dealing with.
Wow.
So that was an exciting step for me. Aside from my knee, just being able to work out my whole body and kind of get some muscle back, because I was looking pretty thin. So I wasn't a fan of that. So yeah, now I've been working out, and now that I'm down here riding, toning the workouts back just a little bit, and more cycling, and then kind of seeing where we're at, and then we'll build from there.
So you, as an athlete, you've been racing for a long period of time, and you've been at the top level for a good bit as well. When is your body in the best situation or best condition to be racing a motorcycle? Like, is there a weight or like a certain level of athleticism that's in mind of like, I want to be able to do this. I feel best when I'm able to ride 30s without being able to, like, you know what I mean? As far as like how taxing it is on you, is there sort of a sweet spot of like being like too lean versus too bulky or having that strength? Because motocross is a very interesting sport as far as building a body for it, because you can't be bulky, but you also have to be strong.
Yeah, for sure. No, I'm definitely learning that. Obviously, with the last 2 years, I haven't been in the most ideal state, but I've been managing, you know, the best I could. But before all this, the season of 24 going into it was probably when I was feeling my best. I would say, yeah, I wasn't super bulky, but I had some, you know, I was pretty lean and had some good muscle built up. And a ton of cardio, like my base was.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. Like those long cycles, long runs. Yeah, like right now, everything is zone two. If you've got a good base, then, you know, you tack on a couple strength workouts, make sure you got the muscle for it, and you'll be pretty good. So,
what are you benching right now?
165.
Okay, fair enough. Same as my girlfriend. That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, we're getting back. We're fair building. Enough. Yeah.
I like it. You've been vlogging, and I think that's what kind of sort of spawned me wanting to do this podcast to begin with. I always want to shed light on some privateers who I truly feel are doing it the right way by showcasing their sponsors and putting themselves out there. It's not easy, and especially if you're trying to be consistent at it. You've been doing it for over a week now. Tell me about that process, and are you having fun with it?
Yeah, I am. I've always liked being behind a camera and just making goofy videos. Like, I don't know, I think it's important people show their character. Like, everyone's unique, and
yeah,
you know, why show it off, right?
Just so, be a goofball, sure.
Yeah, who cares? So I've always been like that, and then so now, obviously, with being a privateer, like, my what I wanted was, like, man, I really want to showcase the people that are supporting me. Mm-hmm. And what better way to do it than try and build up this thing on social media to get it to a point where, hey, you know, like, I'm making it worth it for these guys to help me out, and I'm giving them the recognition they deserve, because without the people backing me, like, I wouldn't be able to do any of this. So, like you said, I've been a week into it, and so far it's good. Like, a couple of days I'm like, oh man, what am I going to do? But, you just find something, put it out there, and
yeah.
And the more with content, like,
they don't have to be long. I think your average one is probably like 2 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's been like 1 minute so far. And sometimes it's the ones you don't even really put effort in. They do the best. So kind of learning that. But no, like, yeah, it's fun for me. I'm a week in, and I plan on to continue doing it. And yeah, like I said, just trying my best to give the sponsors the recognition they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, honestly, as someone who's been active on social media for well over 15 years and doing it professionally for over 10, consistency and showing up is literally all that matters. I've watched people who, like, their content is literally just like putting elastic bands around a ball, and they have like 250,000 people watching it, and you're just like, how, like, what? Like,
yeah.
So if that can get views, like, your audience will find you if you spend the time and just keep doing it, keep showing up, and you, like I said, you're having fun with it. And to be completely honest, like Andy Gregg over at Guts, I guarantee anytime you ever do one of those vlogs and has anything to do with Guts Racing, if you collaborate with them on social, they will put you to the biggest audience that they could possibly have on that. And like, you're doing them a favor. Same thing with, I don't know who you use for clutches, but we're a race winning brands podcast over here. And if Recluse had a install video for an Apex clutch, that's a great way to get yourself an $1,800 clutch, my friend. So seriously. And, but the straight up, they don't have that content ready to post. Otherwise they would, like, that brand right now, like, Recluse is hurting for social content. Like, I've been trying to help them out with it, but it's like, they've got lots of clutches out there. Not a lot of guys who are willing to take 5 minutes while they're installing it to take the clips and actually put something together. It would be that easy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You just got to put in the effort. Yep. And
who do you use for clutches?
Right now,
are you stock?
I'm stock right now. Yeah.
I'm going to call my buddy, Kevin Bailey at Race Winning Brands. You're down in Texas. I'm going to see if we'd be willing to either sell you a clutch super cheap or even send you one, under the condition that you would like do a video or something like that. I think it would be a great opportunity. I can't guarantee you'll say yes, but I will ask.
For sure. That'd be awesome. Yeah. It's just, that's what it is too. Like making connections and different people and, you know, like I said, like, you know, if you're consistent with it, then, you know, you never know what opportunities can come up. So that's the plan, is just stay consistent and represent anyone that I can, to the best of my abilities.
Perfect, man. Well, I know you've got a ton of great sponsors already under your tent. Give those some love for me. So before I let you go here on the Big MX Radio podcast, you probably got either some dinner or a late night workout to get to.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely Jack Carter Power Sports from Calgary. They've been a huge help to get the program going. Then Yamaha Motor Canada helping out. Fox Racing Canada, JC. He's been helping me out for a long time, so stoked to keep that going. New for this year, CGR Suspension. He's been great as well, helping me down here, trying to get these new bikes dialed in. Guts Racing, Renegade Fuel, Matrix Concepts Canada, Rental, Lockhart, you know, always helping out.
Of course, it's got to be Lockhart, Link. That guy must get hit up by everyone, though.
Oh, I know. Yeah, be pretty thankful to get the help that I do.
Great guy. Him.
Works Connection stepping up this year as well. MD Distributions, Tear Off Gaskets. The list goes on. Like we're slowly building and Micro Machine Shop also helping out this year. Huge thanks to those guys. It's just that's another part of the privateer lifestyle is trying to build up your sponsor list. So I can't thank the people that have jumped on board enough. Just super stoked for their help, and without them I wouldn't be here. So
awesome, looking forward to follow along. If people are not already following on social, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram, Zachy_44, TikTok it's Zachio, and on YouTube, Zachy from Zef.
Perfect, my friend. Well, I really appreciate your time today. We're going to have to make this a repeat offender. Maybe kind of follow along a little bit throughout the summer, keep tabs on you more regularly than we have in the past. So, let's do exactly that. But for podcast sake, let's cut it off right about now.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, dude.